Today on Real Life Radio.
I struggle less with my faith now than I did when I first believed. Why? Because the book of Romans chapter 10 verse 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. The more you hear of the Bible, the more you hear of the Word of God, the less doubt you have, the more faith you grow up in your spirit. Do you understand that? It's vital. Hopefully that's why you're here today.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Real Life. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with the message titled, When We Come Home. In every civilization and culture throughout history, there is one thing that connects us. The strong desire to know what's on the other side. You see, mankind lives with an internal moral law. There's a passion inside of all of us to not only somehow redeem ourselves, but to have access to paradise or heaven. What will heaven be like? Where will it be? And how do we get there? Well, here in chapter 21, we'll see heaven and the earth pass away and how God will make all things new. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say, that everything is going to be different in the new earth because Jesus himself will be with us. Faith will no longer be needed, and the curse of the fall will be done away with. It was always God's desire for us to be blessed and to be happy. Now, in his message called When We Come Home, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You've got a new heaven and a new earth that is purged, sterilized, and autoclaved from that which is existing. Then you've got a new city that's completely done brand new by God himself, and it's been prepared. It is going to mate with this new heaven. It's going to come together. It's going to glue together, so to speak, the new city with this new heaven and this new earth. Hebrews 11:8. I think Abraham knew something about this. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should receive as an inheritance, he obeyed God and went out not knowing where he was going. But by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as a stranger in a country, dwelling in tabernacles, that's a tent, and with Isaac and with Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Hebrews 11:10. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is who? God, not an earthly city. Abraham went out looking for a dwelling place, and he was content, by the way, to dwell in tents until the day came when he would live in a city that God had made. Now you know what Abraham was really in his heart looking for. A city that is eternal in the heavens, not made with human hands. Are you with me? That God himself makes. Next week, we're going to read and study about the foundations of that great city. Abraham, I believe, longed for it, and he was, of course, the father of the faith. And by the way, I want to stress to you, this city that's going to be descending out of heaven prepared, don't think in your mind that you somehow don't have access to it. As long as you're breathing right now, my friend, if you're drawing breath right now, you can make that decision and book your place in that city forever. It doesn't matter how big of a sinner you are. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. It doesn't matter how good you are. You can still go there too. There's still hope for you. The Bible tells us over and over again that it's by faith in Jesus Christ. Second point that we want to see this morning is this, found in verses 3 and 4. When we come home, everything's going to be different. Yes, everything's going to be new, and everything's going to be different. Verses 3 and 4. Everything's going to be different. How so? Look with me in verse 3. Because faith will no longer be needed. How different will it be in eternity? Well, we won't need any faith anymore. Isn't that going to be great? I don't know about you, but do you ever struggle with your faith? Now, I can tell you this. I struggle less with my faith now than I did when I first believed. Why? Because the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. The more you hear of the Bible, the more you hear of the Word of God, the less doubt you have, the more faith you grow up in your spirit. Do you understand that? It's vital. Hopefully, that's why you're here today. But we still struggle with things of faith. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? What are you confessing? I'm confessing this. There's times when I am stretched. Are you not stretched? And you begin to question God. God, why? Have you ever asked him why? No? I? Now? I do. And then the Lord says, Jack, come on. I'm the Lord here. You're not. Yeah, I know, Lord, but why? Just say yes. Jack, just say yes. Yes, but why? You know, like little kids are? Clean your room. But why? Because Auntie's coming over. But why? Because she wants to see you. But why? I'm like that with God sometimes. But why? Why? I feel a pain. Why, God? And then I started thinking, man, I've been pretty healthy all my life. And if I have a pain, God, what is that? What is it? Why? Wait a minute. Why not? This world's so messed up, it's all dying. I mean, this world's falling apart at the seams. And what's funny, too, and I'm learning, I'm reading books, and I don't want to do this anymore. You read a book about diet and dieting and what you should eat? I used to think you go to the store, you buy a tomato. It's a tomato. No, I have found out that when we go to the normal grocery store, it's shaped like a tomato. It's not a real tomato. It's been pumped with all kinds of hormones and stuff, and it's not even real. And then I buy a carrot. What a beautiful carrot. I should eat carrots. It's supposed to help me in the health department. And then you find out that, so what? Oh, no, you gotta raise your tomatoes in this kind of dirt, in this kind of a place. And you're not going to eat that egg, are you? Well, yeah, it came from a chicken. God made chickens. What's wrong with that? Oh, no, you need to go get a free-range chicken egg. A free-range chicken egg. What kind of, I recently heard, it's a user-friendly chicken egg. A what? What does it say? It says, I'm an egg. Get me. Pick me. What do you mean, user-friendly egg? It means it's got all the nutrients because these chickens were let loose to do whatever they do. Okay. Now I don't want to go to the store anymore. Is that real? Can you imagine how stupid we would look if we went to the checker, you know, with a banana? Is this real? I kid you not. We went to the store, Lisa and I, the other day, and we were going to buy some roast beef, and it said, roast beef from the deli section. We looked at it closer, and it said, processed roast beef. I'm not joking. Processed roast beef. What is that? Man, I'm telling you. Listen, everything's going to be different. We'll need no faith any longer because there will be the fulfillment. What we have longed for, what we've really needed and wanted, it will have been completed. We will be, church, listen, we're going to be standing before God and we won't have to say, Lord, I'm hoping I'm seeing you right now. I mean, I got so much faith, I can like hear your voice. No, you'll be there. You'll have no need of faith. You will have been there. All that we have longed for that's invisible will come to pass. We have faith, but then we won't need faith. That's going to be a very, very great and wonderful thing. Verse 3 tells us this because he says, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. That's awesome news. And he will dwell with them and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. That is a glorious thing. The dwelling place of God will be among men. It is a place that has been prepared according to this chapter of the Bible, which leads me to think of something, a verse that we all know and love here at this church. Let me read it to you and listen to this. Jesus said in John 14, he says in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. The word is dwelling places, places to abide. You know, the old King James, doesn't the old King James Bible say mansions? You know what? You know why it says mansions? It wasn't that King James and the guys were hoping for mansions. Did you know the actual word is mansions in the Greek translation? Mansions. It's been downplayed a lot because it can't really mean that. But that's the word that is in the original Greek, mansions. So watch this. Jesus said, watch, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to what? Prepare. Same word, revelation. The city had been prepared. It means the city has not always existed. This is brand new, and it is apparently John chapter 14, verse 2, built by Jesus. I go now to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. Where will we be living in eternity forever? The holy city of New Jerusalem, the abode of God. Next week, we're going to get into the dimensions of it. It is awesome. And I think you should know what your house is going to be like. It'd be our first walkthrough next week. But keep that in mind, where we're going. I think we get so bogged down with the things of this earth in our lives that we forget where we're going. We get so caught up here, we forget where we're going. Now watch this. The Bible says that God created the physical universe in 6 days. God could have done it in one day. But how long has Jesus been preparing this place? I don't know, but I could speculate. He went away to prepare a place for us. He hasn't come back for us yet. Could he still be preparing it? If for the last 2,000 years Jesus is preparing this place that we're speaking about, then no wonder Paul the Apostle, when he saw it, remember when Paul was stoned? Not by drugs, he was... stoned to death. He was left for dead. Paul speaks in the book of Corinthians that he was caught up to the third heaven. And he saw things that are beyond words to express, that are not lawful for man to speak. The Bible speaks about heaven that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the minds of your imaginations, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That's where we're going. What's so great about this is Jesus has been working on it. It's so fantastic that he's the one doing it, nobody else. Listen, what does the book of Genesis 1 have in common with the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and with the book of Colossians chapter 1 and John chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 1? That Jesus Christ is the creator of the physical universe and angelic beings. Did you hear that? If he created the physical universe, then if he's been gone this long preparing a place for us, I can't wait to see it. And I want to ask you, are you going to see it with me? Are you going to be there? Have you made your reservation? You've got to do that. There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I see that all fresh now. Jesus says, I'm the way. Come on, I got a place to show you. I've been working on it. I want you to see it. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I told you I was going to do this. And I'm the life. You're going to find out from Revelation chapter 21 that the life and the light of eternity emanates from Jesus Christ himself. Isn't that what John said to us anyway? That Jesus Christ was the life and the light, and he lighteth or illuminates every man that comes into the world. Interesting, huh? Well, look at this. Look at verse 4. Everything's going to be different because the curse is going to be done away with. The curse will be done away. This is great news. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. When and where will that be true? In eternity, exclusively, only for the believer. There shall be no more death there. There's not going to be any sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
Man, none of that. Look, I'm leaning to the right. See this? I'm leaning to the right. That hurts. If I lean to the left, I'm okay. Why? Yesterday I stepped on a piece of glass and I can't find it. Little tiny thing. If I lean like this, that hurts. Right there. That hurts. I'm in pain. Lean to this side, no pain. Pain? No pain. This side of eternity, I'm in pain. Other side of eternity, no pain. Who in the world would miss heaven? What's wrong with you? What are you waiting for? You gonna wait for something else to come along? It ain't coming. Jesus has done it. He's invited you to come enjoy it. And by the way, he bought you the ticket free that you might receive it. You're not gonna get there without his ticket. You've got to take the ticket from him. And that ticket alone will get you into eternity. You can't present your own ticket. You can't do your own thing. He will not accept it. The curse will be done away. That is that horrible curse of Genesis chapter 3. Remember when God said after the fall, and you need to remember this, and it's going to dovetail into what we're talking about. God says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, he says to Adam, because you've listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten the... Hey, guys, listen to that. Let me read that again. Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten of the fruit of the tree, which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground or the earth for your sake, and in toil you shall eat it all the days of your life. We'll save this portion for our marriage retreat, but right now we'll go on and we'll talk about this, that when man sinned, the curse came into the world. The curse came into the world when man sinned. God makes that announcement. Now watch this. This is exciting. I hope you get this. When God created the Garden of Eden, he placed Adam and Eve in it. Now listen, was Adam and Eve perfect? Yes. Was the Garden of Eden perfect? Yes. What were they to do? Well, they were to till the garden and, name the animals and enjoy themselves. I guess have sex too, because they were naked. So, right? I mean, that was in the program. Well, I mean, I don't know what they did all the time. We don't know how long it happened before the fall happened, but they were naked in a really nice place. And they were to have kids. Anyway, we'll save that for the marriage retreat also. But they sinned, and watch this. They sinned, and remember, the Bible says that God would walk in the garden in the cool of the day, in the midst of the garden, and he would talk with them. Then man falls, man sins. You've got millennia, thousands and thousands of years that have transpired, and in the last 2,000 years, you've got Jesus going to the cross and canceling out man's sin debt upon the cross. That is, he went to the cross and he paid the debt that you and I could never pay, all the way back to Adam's sin and all the way future to the last person who has the opportunity in the millennium to choose Christ. Then eternity begins. Watch this. Think of a long strip of film. You've got the pre-fall on this end, and you've got eternity on that end. You've got the last 2,000 years and the thousands of years before Jesus Christ came. You've got the time of sin. Are you with me, everybody? Take scissors and splice out all of that sin state, that sin parameter, and splice together the Garden of Eden and eternity. How do we know? Because he's going to take the earth that is current and the celestial world that is out there in space, and he's going to autoclave it and prepare it for eternity, and he's going to pick up where he left off, so to speak, from the garden. That is radical. Sin interrupted it. God did something about the sin, and he's going to pick up where he left off once his incredible process is over. That is good news. The curse will be done away. And look at this, verse 4, tells us that the past will be left behind. Can somebody say amen about that? Amen. The past will be left behind. Do you have any kind of a past? I've got several kinds of a past. I got a past that bugs me, and then I've got a past of my own that I did to me. I've got the past that people have done to me, and I've got the past that I've done to myself. You know what I mean? I don't need Satan to get me in trouble, and I don't have to be like Flip Wilson and say the devil made me do it. I am totally capable of getting in absolute trouble all by myself. That past haunts me. I know it. I know Jesus canceled it out on the cross, and I know that God doesn't remember it anymore. But you know what? I'm not dead yet, so I still remember it. And I hate it. And then there's the past of that what's been done to us, be it of sickness, be it of our enemies, be it of life. The Bible says, passed away. Gone. Ooh, boy. Really? Yes, gone. And I thought about that for a moment. And I thought about my sin and my sin nature. And I thought about, Lord, what sin, if I had one wish to wish that you could not know God, that you would forget, that you would choose to absolutely forget forever, what sin would that be? And I asked myself that question, and I wound up stating about 3 or 4 sins. And then I realized, you know what? I'm not going to ask this question anymore. I am just going to believe you, God. You said as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sins from you. I'll take it. You said, Lord, that you will cast our sins into the depths of the sea and will remember them no more. I believe you, Lord. That's it. You ever heard that statement? God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You know, that's wrong. God said it, and that settles it. It doesn't matter if I believe it or not. God said it, that settles it. If I'm smart, I'll believe it. Well, I'm glad. He loves us so much. He is so good. He says the former things will pass away. The word means in the Greek to go in the opposite direction. The word is a nautical term also used to set sail. Listen, to set sail a ship. To set sail a ship, but you're not on it. Can you imagine? All right, get it. All right, raise the sail. All right. And the wind fills its sails and the ship starts sailing off into the horizon and you're standing on the shore. It's not that you missed it. Oh my goodness, there goes my boat. No, you raise the sails, you let it go, and the wind carries it away, and you stand there, and it goes over the horizon. Yes! The past is going to go away. Very exciting. Third point, verses 5-7, when we come home, everything's going to be complete. Everything's going to be complete. It says here in verse 5, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. What do we learn from this? That the Lord will pick up where he left off. As I said a moment ago, here's that word new again. He will refresh, complete. He will pick up where he started. The word is also translated revitalize. That's where we get this understanding that he's going to make fresh the heavens and the earth. Not erase them, refresh them by fire. What's amazing to this is that everything's going to be made complete. He's going to pick up where he left off. I'm so glad that God completes his projects. I mean, look, you're looking at one of them right now. You know what? From time to time in my life, I've done all that I can to derail God's process in my life, willfully or unwillfully. I've messed up. And he waits. He's patient. Have you ever been you're so dedicated to something, or you're so, you know, this is the way that it is, and you build your whole life, and you're going this way on it, and you find out you're wrong? And you say, God, where were you? I was with you the whole time. You wouldn't listen to a word I was saying. You know, your nose is like this because you hit the wall. Come on, let's go. Boom. Oh, God, where were you? I was with you all the way until I stopped. You kept going, Jack. And you hit the wall. You ever done that? Man, I've done that. He's going to complete that which he started. The 138th Psalm. The psalmist says he will perfect or complete that which he has started.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called When We Come Home. Thanks for being with us today. You know, When We Come Home is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, as Christians, we are all too familiar with Satan's greatest tool that he uses against us, temptation. Whether subtle or the battle of your life, temptation comes in a lot of different forms, and it attacks us when we least suspect. But just as Satan tries to pull us away from Christ, even more, God has already given us the victory. This month's book of the month is called Temptation, The Battle of Your Life. And it's by our very own Jack Hibbs. In this practical look at temptation, we'll discover how Jesus himself handled temptation and how you can build an effective defense against Satan's subtle and not-so-subtle attacks. Now, you know, once you become a follower of Christ, this tremendous transformation in your life does not go unnoticed in the spiritual realm. So learn what it means to be a true believer in the face of personal spiritual battles by picking up your copy of Temptation, The Battle of Your Life. Do it today. It's yours for a gift of any amount, and you'll find it at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.